He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Friday, September 12th. Good to have you. Good to be here. Good to get this one going here on our show. 2 hours today before we get you to Friday Night Lights. Slight schedule change to that game, by the way. 7 p.m. pregame, 7:30 kickoff from Bullard's home opener. It's at McLean High School. So that's where we're going to be. Myself, Paul Metters, Pat Hill here on the broadcast on 1430. 7 p.m. pregame, 7:30 kickoff live from Bullard's home opener. Good to have you. Good to be here. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D's show from 2 to 3 p.m. On weekdays, 2 p.m. to 3. You can listen to him live and on demand on the 1430 ESPN app, 1430ESPNFresno.com website as well, and all the other platforms that we have him on, including that as well. So if you miss this show, you can go to the website, listen to a show on demand once it's uploaded there. Excited for our show today. First, let's get to our sponsor, Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. 559-320-1430, the way to reach us. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show here on this Friday. Lee's Air Weather Check. We're looking at 85 degrees. A beautiful night for high school football tonight. 85 degrees on the docket. Just as high as we'll get to today. We'll get down maybe in the kickoff temp decides a time of around 80 degrees when it gets to 7:30. So that is just perfect weather for this time of year. Of course, tomorrow we have the Bulldogs game, Fresno State game, 91 degrees. It looks like the high temperature for kickoff is at 7 p.m. So I would say it's going to be pretty comfortable tomorrow as well. So be sure to lock in and enjoy that as well. Looking at the schedule today, can't wait to bring it up for you here. We got plenty to talk about, including last night's action, including coming up this weekend as well. We'll have my Bonatti Blitz in this hour. We're going to pick all of the football games of the NFL week. Of course, I'm already 1-0 picking the Packers last night. Jordan Love, a very economical performance, and the Packers look like a very tough team out of the gates. Paul Metters is going to be in as well at the 4 o'clock hour. Paul Metters previewing tonight's Friday Night Lights game, including some other big games around the region as well. And we'll talk some more Fresno State final predictions for the Southern game and get you set for what should be a good sports weekend here coming up. Week 2 of the NFL, college football going on, all of it here in the Central Valley here on this lovely, lovely September early month weekend. So good to have you. Good to be here. We're also streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, ESPN Fresno platforms is where you can find us. And be sure to tune in there if you want to watch the video portion of our show. So hello to the video audience that's out there. Good to see you. Good to be seen. Anyways, pleased to be joined by a pair of our producers here today who are going to be taking us through the next couple hours. We're taking off the training wheels. We got Sergio here and we got Chloe here behind the glass. Sergio, first of all, how are you doing on this Friday? Oh, we got to get your mic on. Do I have you? I have you on here. There we go. I hear your voice. There you go. Hello. All right.
Hey.
How are we doing on this Friday?
Doing good. Rested up. Excited to watch some high school football later today.
There you go. Chloe, how about you?
Great. Having a good day. Had a pretty lazy day.
You don't want to talk about maybe your calamity this afternoon that you came in talking about?
For the viewers, I slipped down my stairs today.
Oh, boy.
Maybe sprained my ankle.
Oh, boy.
Maybe gave myself a concussion.
Oh, boy.
Who knows? Everything hurts from my ankle to my back to my nail.
So you're doing all right?
Yeah. We cleaned up the stain and I took some Tylenol. So.
There you go. Well, I'm glad you're getting through it, and we're sorry that you had to fall down the stairs that way. And I'm just hope there's no cameras in your house that captured the moment in terms of it. So
luckily no.
You have a capture of it in your mind. Anyways, it's good to have you both on. Good to have you guys here. And we're talking a lot of different things sports wise, including last night. Wanted to just acknowledge the end for the Fresno Grizzlies. The Grizzlies wrap up their season last night, not without a great effort by the team, including a near comeback in the ninth inning. They were down 7-4, pushed it to 7-6, had two guys on. They had the go-ahead run at first and could not get it done. A liner that ends the game, and the Fresno Grizzlies season comes to an end. They lose to San Jose. It'll be San Jose versus Inland Empire next week for the California League title. So the Fresno Grizzlies season does come to an end. A great season, a lot of fun memories, especially down the stretch, including how great they played down the stretch. Maybe we get a little recap segment with Tim Slack once everything gets settled in. So it'll be a good season coming up next year. Can't wait for it. Big thanks to Johnny Bravo for getting us situated, and big thanks to everybody who did all the broadcast this year as well. Shout out Jorge, who's working hard on those broadcasts all season long. So big effort to make that happen. So hope everyone enjoyed those broadcasts. So just wanted to shout that out at the top. We also wanted to give you a few scores from last night from the high school side of things. We had five games in the central section last night, and here's how they went. Big ranked matchup, Buchanan and Liberty of Bakersfield. Buchanan Bears, I was at that game last night, and for the most part, I think I got the story of the game pretty good. Seemed like Buchanan really was in control for most of that game. One big touchdown throw from Liberty put it back into it just a little bit, but let's be honest, Buchanan was the team in control all night. Ended up winning 31-13, and Liberty, man, Liberty of Bakersfield down 0-4 now on the season, and I don't see... I just don't know if I can see a path for Liberty in terms of being in the top division for the playoffs this year with how tough it's been. So Buchanan now moves to 3-1. And actually, I think due to a change in a score, this was relayed to me earlier today, and this actually affects the game we have today. Bakersfield High had to forfeit their game earlier this season to Buchanan. So Buchanan now has a win over Bakersfield High. It was a forfeit due to an ineligible player in that game that they played in week one. So now Buchanan 4-0 on the year due to the forfeit. I'm not sure what it does to affect the rankings, but just wanted to give that distinction real quick. So Buchanan could go 5-0 if they beat Paso Robles in a couple weeks, and then they will head into track play. So as good as a start you can try to get for the Buchanan Bears here moving forward. As for Liberty, the tough going just keeps getting tougher for them. 0-4 on the year. They get Central East next week, so good luck in facing that offense. Buchanan's been able to move the ball on Liberty. Central East might be putting up a lot of points against them. And then, of course, they move into league play where we may have a potential missed playoff opportunity for Liberty here if they don't get things figured out. So we'll see. Hard to believe how different it has been for this Liberty program moving forward. So that's a little recap of last night's game. Of course, some other scores from around the region. Washington Union beating Justin Garza last night. Justin Garza, Union, both undefeated going into this one. Washington Union, man, playing some good football. 29-25, they edge out Justin Garza. Looked like a mad scramble to the tail end of that one. So Union moves to 3-0. They get Dinuba beat Kingsburg earlier this year. So Dinuba's no slouch. They get Kalinga, and I'll get to Kalinga in a second. So Union playing some good football for where they're at. Justin Garza falling to 3-1. They most recently beat Kerman before that game. They'll get Lompoc next week. And then, of course, they move into league play with Memorial, Sanger, Bullard, Madera, Edison, all of those teams on the docket for them. So we'll see where that all plays out. Other scores to get to, Kalinga 62 over Sierra Pacific 22, 62-22 last night for the Horned Toads. So a lot of scoring there. Kalinga moves to 3-1. Menachi goes to West and beats West 33-27. Menachi now moving to 3-1 on the year for them. And finally, a little more South Valley action for you. McFarland gets to 4-0 on the year. They beat Del Oro out of Bakersfield, 25-21. That is your score from tonight. I'll preview the slate later when Paul Metters gets in, so I wanted to give a little point out to that, but I just wanted to go over those scores from last night for everybody as well. One final item I want to get to, and I don't know if I'll get to it in the rest of the show. Maybe I'll ask Paul when he gets in as well, because he is a noted Dodger fan. I know we're into the football season, but it is a very, very huge weekend of baseball coming up for everybody here all across. I don't know why they scheduled Giants-Dodgers in the same weekend as Yankees-Red Sox. I don't know what the Major League Baseball is trying to do. I think you've spread the wealth just a little bit, but Dodgers, Giants in San Francisco, three-game set. Giants are trying to hang in there in terms of the playoff position. I can believe they're 2.5 games back of the Mets as we speak. I think thoughts of a division title are certainly probably out of the realm of reality, but this is as big a Dodgers-Giants series as we've had in a little bit, maybe leaning into the 2021-ness of it all. But the Giants, if they have any hopes of making a playoff run, playoff push, it has to start tonight and go through this weekend. Do we have any thoughts from the Peanut Gallery in terms of Giants, Dodgers? First of all, Sergio, I think you're a Giants fan. Is that correct?
So, yeah, I'm a Giant, a huge Giants fan. Yeah,
so how? I mean, I don't think you can tell. You don't need to tell everybody how big this series is this weekend.
Yeah, it's a huge series. Giants, like you said, are hanging in there. They're a game and a half back of the Mets for that last wild card spot. And the Mets are kind of giving it up a little bit right now. They did not play well against the Phillies in this last series. And, you know, Giants are hot. They've got Verlander on the mound today against Yamamoto. So I'm excited to see how this one plays out. I might actually I did give up hope a little bit a few weeks ago, but now they're kind of reeling me back in a little bit.
One and a half games back of the Mets in the wild card. I think realistically we can say no to the Dodgers' hopes in terms of catching them. 8 games back, you have 7 to play. I mean, mathematically, you win all 7, suddenly we're in a different world here in terms of the conversation.
It's crazy how close it is right now.
But I would say Giants, Ranger fans, Boach can do a solid this weekend for the Giants in terms of beating the Mets. The Rangers have it. I looked at the schedule remaining. I mean, the Mets feel like they have a much tougher schedule than the Giants do down the stretch. It's the Rangers. It's home against the Padres, playoff team. They'll play the Nationals. Then they got to go to Chicago to play the Cubs. And then anything happens in the final weekend of the series season when you get Miami involved down in Miami. And the Mets would be so classic Mets if they collapse here down the stretch. Very the antithesis of what we saw last year in terms of the Mets, who were just on fire making it happen. Now they are dire straits and potentially could be missing out on a playoff opportunity. It's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. So, yeah, big series. We'll be paying attention to it, and definitely want to see if I can get some Dodger perspective from Paul in terms of it. Because I think Dodger fans certainly sitting here not feeling great about their chances to a World Series possibility. Yeah,
they've been kind of cold lately. I remember seeing a stat that they haven't been playing all that well in this last month or so. So
I wish I could go back and play back. And Jorge's just probably going to be so tired of me doing this, but I remember saying the Dodgers aren't going to be good this year. I remember saying that at the beginning of the season. I said all these pitchers everybody says are going to be good, with Roky Sasaki and Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow and anybody else they have in that rotation. They break down. These guys have been breaking down much of their career, half seasons played, some guys missing time. It was very reliant on guys who could not play full season and maybe not will be available for the postseason. I don't trust it. And here where we are, Dodger injuries. I know some of them are back and are pitching, but I said in one of my bold predictions, the Dodgers aren't getting out of the division series, and I feel like that might be coming true. But we'll see what the games are playing moving forward. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. They're, like you said, they're definitely over-relying on some guys that you can't really rely on to stay healthy. And, you know, Giants' number one prospect, Bryce Eldridge, took Sasaki Deeksby the other day in AAA, so I think that tells you all you need
call
to know
him
about
now.
That.
Yeah, call him up now. Come on.
Yeah, why not? Let's have four first basemen on the roster.
Exactly. We'll see. Giants, Dodgers, of course, they have the game tonight. We won't have the game tonight on our air because of the Friday Night Lights, but we will have Giants and Dodgers baseball Saturday and Sunday as well. So tune into those games. Tomorrow, the Giants will be playing the Dodgers, 5:35 pregame, 6:05 first pitch, and then you've got Giants and Dodgers, 1 p.m. They'll be on as soon as the Niners game wraps up in the morning when they take on the Saints. So that's what we got for you there. All right, let's take a break. We're going to talk some football. We're going to do the Benatti Blitz. It's prediction time, putting our money where our mouth is here for week two. So stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. We are here live in this 3 o'clock hour, going till 6 o'clock tonight. Excuse me, 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. We're going till 5 o'clock. And then we'll head on over and get ready for Friday Night Lights between Bullard and Bakersfield High. Can't wait for it. I wanted to mention something I saw on my Twitter timeline here, and I found it hilarious. Last night's game, Packers take care of business, obviously. I want to read a little excerpt from a story I was reading here. Talking about Tucker Kraft. I was mentioning it maybe to you guys before the show. Josh Jacobs said earlier this week to a question about Tucker Kraft that guys have to be, quote, a little off to play certain positions. In an appearance on former Packers running back A.J. Dillon's podcast last year, Tucker Kraft said that he sometimes tells opponents while trash-talking that he's going to burn their childhood homes down. Yeah. How we feel about that? Tucker Kraft is a little screwed. I mean, I love tight ends. I think they're the funniest guys out there in terms of football side of things. And let me tell you, Tucker Kraft is growing on me, especially with his play last night. And there are certain modes of trash-talk in athletics. And honestly, I think that's a funny route to go. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think you got to get into your opponent's head somehow. So, yeah. I mean, I think that's the best way to do it. And it's just hilarious.
Like, he's not going to do it, Chloe. He's not going to do it. But the threat of it makes you look a little psycho.
I feel like it would just kind of throw me off guard. Like, if I'm getting ready and it's, I'm going to burn your house down, I'd be like, wait.
You're not your house, your childhood home.
Childhood house.
The one you grew up in, the one you cherish those memories in, it'll no longer exist. That's what I'm going to do.
It's just very off-putting. Yeah. Like, it would just catch me by surprise.
Right. My favorite trash talker was Andrew Luck. If you ever watch Andrew Luck trash talk, which is quite simply no trash talk, it is, wow, thanks, great hit. You guys hit me harder. He's like, keep doing it. You're doing great.
I love him.
Yeah. So what kind of trash talker would you be, Sergio, if you're an NFL player?
Probably try to get into their heads a little bit, kind of Tucker Kraft-ish.
Yeah.
There is something that I do remember from, like, it's not even really trash talk, but it was a player trying to intimidate another player. It was an Alabama-Tennessee game, I think.
Yeah.
And I think it was a Tennessee player, like, in the huddle, threw up, like, on the field.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, a lineman, and he
I
stared.
I think I know this play.
He stared at the Alabama defender and nodded like, yeah, I just did that. Chloe, I love that clip.
Chloe, do you trash talk? Or I'm sure Is there a little bit of like gamesmanship when you're competing?
There's no trash talk in gymnastics at all. We are a love all kind of sport. I mean, if I was trash talking like my teammates, though, for fun, I was a gaslighter.
Okay.
I would just gaslight you and get in your head a lot. But no, gymnastics is not that serious.
One of my favorites is George Kittle, too. When George Kittle pancakes a guy and he just starts laughing in his face while he has George him to Kittle. The ground. He's just,
yes,
you know, just like a crazy person, just like a psycho person. So I love it. All right. Let's get to it, right? Because we got a lot to get to with the NFL schedule. And I'm going to ask for some feedback as we go game by game here today on the Bonatti Blitz. We are picking all 13 games. We got 13 games on the docket. We're not going to pick the Monday night games. We're going to pick those later. Next week when we get to our Monday show. So we have 13 games to get to today, and we are going to be picking them throughout. Are you guys ready for another edition of the Bonatti Blitz?
Yes, sir.
All right. Week 2. Same amount of games, except for a Monday night doubleheader. Can't wait to get to it. Let's go. And we start in Cincinnati. The Jaguars and the Bengals playing at 10 a.m. Looking forward to a matchup between Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. How about that for college royalty in terms of this matchup? It's another catfight for the Jaguars. They've relinquished and destroyed the Panthers despite any sort of thunder and lightning making it happen in terms of their performance. It could happen again, except on the football field. I've been high on the Jaguars. I've loved the Jaguars going into this season. The Bengals did not impress me whatsoever in their game against the Browns, which was as best described as a slap fight. I am going to pick the Jaguars on the road to start 2-0 and beat those Cincinnati Bengals.
I don't think that's a horrible pick, not going to lie. The Bengals kind of feel like the same as last year. I don't feel like they really got any better, to be honest. I mean, Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase are still there, and Trey Hendrickson, but that's the entire team at this point right now, so I can agree with you on this one, to be honest.
I also agree. I have the Jags in this game. I can agree with everything you said. I feel like there hasn't been a big change, but the Jags so far, like, they've come out and they've impressed me a lot over the past few years, so I like this.
Underdogs. We're all picking the Jags as underdogs. Here we go. Next up, Cowboys, Giants at Jerry World. Cowboys are going to be a big favorite after their performance over Philadelphia. Respectable performance, huh? Shrug. Okay, we'll see how it goes. Looking forward to seeing where it happens from this time. The one unit I get scared about with the Giants and Cowboys matchup is that, yes, the pass rush of the Giants is their strength. Will the Cowboys be throwing that much in terms of a game like this moving forward? But let's be honest, if Russell Wilson cannot score on this defense, then Russell Wilson should no longer be playing football in the National Football League. I could see a benching coming here. Give me the Cowboys to win big over the Giants.
Yeah, I feel like this one's a no-brainer. I feel like Dallas is going to take this one. They, as much as the Cowboys fans love to, you know, celebrate their moral victories when they lose, I feel like it's relevant in this game. They did shut down A.J. Brown last week, and I think the defense is going to be too much for New York.
I mean, the Cowboys, it's a good pick, but I feel like as a Niner fan, I can't take the Cowboys. And I don't know, I've been really rooting for the Giants, so I'm going to go Giants on this one.
Cowboys, 8 straight wins over the Giants right now. Second longest win streak in series history. Dak, 13 straight wins over the Giants, just to keep in perspective. Next up, Bears and Lions. Got to have a game for both of these teams. You don't want to lose this to go to 0-2 in the division. That'll be tough. Lions are a contender. They certainly don't want to get there. Lions won 10 consecutive games, followed by a loss. Longest after streak in the NFL since the Chiefs, of course, a few years ago. Bears, man, they really blew it last week in terms of finishing off that football game. The defense slid. The defense gave up a lot of big plays, and Caleb Williams looked a lot lost as soon as things got a little difficult for him. I don't trust the Bears on the road. I trust the Lions to get it done. Lions have a lot more pieces that I believe in. Come on, the Lions cannot start 0-2 on this year. Give me the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that one. The Bears did look good for the first half-ish in last game, and Detroit did not look good against Green Bay, but they Green Bay just showed the other day that they're pretty legit this year. So I can expect the Lions to bounce back against Chicago.
I'm taking Bears here. I don't know. I'm feeling good about their defense and everything, so I'm going to go with Bears. I think they can hold their ground.
Next up, Rams, Titans in Tennessee. This has a smell to it. This has a stink to it of some kind of weird something happening here with this team. The Rams, as impressive as they were against the Texans, I feel like they struggled a little bit on the offensive end. Puka Nacua was in and out for a while, and yet still had one of the better games in fantasy over that weekend. But this is reality. And the Titans certainly had a capability of showing that they can frustrate an offense on the defensive side when they did it to Bo Nix and the Broncos. They're forcing turnovers. That's impressive. Can they capitalize? We'll see what the rookie quarterback will have in terms of adjustment. I think he can. He could be running for his life, but he also could find a way to get out of those situations. I've been calling it for a while. I'm going to pick the Titans in an upset over the Rams. It's going to be one of those results. It's just chalk it up to the National Football League picking the Titans over the Rams.
I'm going to take the Rams in this one still. I think they're too good of a team to lose to the Titans, even though they did show that they can, you know, take the ball away from offenses in their last game. But the Rams are favored by 5.5 points, but I don't think that they're going to cover. I think if you're betting, bet that plus 5.5 for the Titans.
Oh, yeah. They'll cover.
Chloe, I'm going to take the Rams in that one as well. I agree with everything you just said. I mean, they're a strong team. I feel like they're really well pieced together, so I'm going to take them over the Titans.
All right. Next up, Patriots, Dolphins in Miami. You want to know the record of the Patriots every time they play Tua Tagovailoa? I know it by heart because I hate it. It's 7-0, Tua has beaten the Patriots every single time he's played them. It's maddening. The one time they beat the Dolphins in the last 10 years, or last 5 years, was Tua being out at quarterback. The Patriots feel like a team that really had a lackluster start to the season, but maybe that's a product of the Raiders being the Raiders this year in terms of Pete Carroll shutting it down. I want to give the benefit of the doubt to the Raiders in the way they played and the frustration of that. Patriots are missing a lot of plays. They're going to be missing their corner again in Christian Gonzalez. We'll see where it yields, because I worry about that matchup in terms of the wide receiver versus corner situation. They struggled last week against the pass, and there's certainly better talent on that side of the ball. But, man, Miami looked as inept as a team it could possibly be. Someone has to move the ball against this team. If the Colts can do it, the Patriots can do it. Give me New England on the road to finally beat Tua.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. I've got New England in this one. Miami looked abysmal last week against the Daniel Jones-led Colts. So if Daniel Jones can move the ball against Miami, I think Drake May will be just fine.
Also give me the Patriots on this one again. And I feel like we talked about this before season. Like, Miami just has something going on right now. So we saw it last week, and I'm going to take the Patriots.
Okay. Next up, Niners at Saints in New Orleans. Boy, Niners B team going up against the Saints A team, which really is a B team in the National Football League. This could be a 6-0 football game if it could go that certain way. Mac Jones is going to be showing up and playing. Good luck, Niner fans, in terms of experiencing that. There will be 3 head-scratching plays, if I told you, at least, in this football game. But guess what? There's a man who plays football for the 49ers that is healthy, and his name is Christian McCaffrey, and he certainly could be the focal point of this offense. And that's where they're going to lean to, and the Niners are going to find ways to make it happen, because even though the Saints were physical last week with the Arizona Cardinals in terms of their wide receivers and where they were going, and Kyler wasn't as accurate as it could be, check down to Christian McCaffrey is as good of anything in terms of a sure thing in the National Football League. I trust in the system. I trust that they got to beat him, because let's be honest, the Niners have to beat the Saints this week, or losing this one will certainly derail any good feelings the Niners have despite what they are missing. Niners win over the New Orleans Saints in the Big Easy.
I'm going to agree. I got the Niners in this one. The last time the Niners were in New Orleans, it was that 46-45 game with Kittle getting that clutch play to set up the Robbie Gould field goal. I don't think that's going to happen in this game. I feel like it's going to be a 13-10 or a 20 to 13 type game, low scoring. I just pray Mac Jones can do enough to move the ball.
Just don't lose the game.
Yeah, just don't lose. You can't
lose. Don't lose the game.
Yep.
Again, Mac Jones, we have that advantage with him. He was a real big talk for the Niners coming into this season, so I'm excited to see him play. And I have it here on my notes, Christian McCaffrey. I mean, we watched the end of that game last week, and he knows how to play football. That is for sure. Strong guy. So I'm putting all my faith and trust into him, and I will mark this down as the date that I have ever first heard you say Niners while I've been here.
They say Niners to win?
Yeah.
I mean, it's only been 2 weeks.
Okay, but you've been trash talking them since I first came a month ago.
We got a segment to get through. Let's go. Keep it rolling. Let's keep it rolling. Next up, Bills, Jets in New York. This is one of the top five games I said this week. I'm looking forward to it. Here's a worry for the Bills. The Bills struggled for the most part against those Ravens in terms of a running quarterback, in terms of a running back that was successful in that attack. Obviously, Derrick Henry is a freak of nature. But Breece Hall is not a terrible running back in terms of everything like that. But Justin Fields certainly can do. I'm not saying he's Lamar Jackson. I'm saying there is he's Kirkland brand Lamar Jackson, maybe, if you're looking for on the cheap end. All that being said, the Bills absolutely demolished the division. How about 24-6 in division games since 2020? Best record by any team in any NFL span. Reminds me of a certain team I rooted for 20 years. Huh, those Brady Patriots. Buffalo's going to win. It'll be tighter than you think. They're going to win over the Jets in the Meadowlands.
I am absolutely in love with this Buffalo team this year. I feel like if you can beat that Ravens team, you can beat pretty much anyone in this league. I will give some credit to Justin Fields, though. He looked good last week. He looked like, you know, Justin Fields at Ohio State. He looked confident when he was throwing the football. He's got a guy in Garrett Wilson that can be reliable. But, you know, I think the Bills are just too good. I think I'm going to go with the Bills.
Bills all the way. Just, again, amazing team. I'm loving how they're looking this year. So I'm going to take them.
Next up, we have Seattle at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh showed up a little bit in the New York Jets game last week. What up, Aaron Rodgers? Is he back? Is he to his old form? We shall see. Of course, this is a much tougher defense than I think he was facing in week one. Seattle really giving a lot of fits to the 49ers in terms of the offensive end. Of course, certainly some factors allowing Seattle to struggle on the offensive side of the ball. It's going to be interesting to see that battle as well between Seattle's offense, Pittsburgh's defense, the pass rush from Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh also struggling to stop the run. What does Seattle have in terms of the offer of it? Maybe Charbonnet can be that feature back for the Seattle Seahawks going into this game. Going to be an interesting one. I think Seattle can't afford to go 0-1, but oh man, am I feeling like Pittsburgh's going to win? And I think, I hate to say it, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will prevail and beat the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm in agreement with you. I think the Steelers are going to win. I think DK Metcalf is going to have a phenomenal revenge game against Seattle. I think Aaron Rodgers looked good last week. He didn't look like a guy who had recently torn his Achilles, and Sam Darnold still got some questions around him, so I'm going to go with Pittsburgh on this one.
I'm going to take Seattle on this one. I feel like they're a strong fighting team. I know you guys are really talking up the Patriots right now, but I feel like they're really worked up from last week, and they can't afford another loss right now. So I'm going to give it to the Seahawks.
Seahawks winning over Pittsburgh. This is again. All right. Next up, Baltimore, Cleveland. I don't have to spend much time on this. I will say there's a pretty cool throwback that they're throwing, 1996 field design. I don't know if you saw the look of it. That alone, the Ravens, by the way, in their ticket website, has made it 1996 style website if you go to it right now. So a little throwback action to that. Baltimore looking to avoid an 0-2 start in their season for the first time in history, consecutive 0-2 starts. They haven't done that back-to-back seasons ever. So looking forward to that. Ravens 12-2 following a loss last year. They're my Super Bowl pick. If they don't pick Cleveland, I'm off. I'm off the Ravens. They have to win this game.
Yeah, I think Baltimore is just too much for this Cleveland team. Joe Flacco is just going to throw like 3 touchdowns for some reason, but I think that's all they're going to score. I think the Ravens are going to win this one in a blowout.
Give me the Ravens on a blowout. Huge game. I feel like I can't even say it's going to be exciting. I feel like it's just going to be like I'm just already expecting it. So,
give me the Ravens. Next up, Broncos and Colts. We've got four games left. Broncos and Colts. It's a horse fight in Indianapolis in the late window, 1 p.m. start. Indy showed me a lot in terms of the way they dominated that Miami game. I got to see it happen 2 weeks in a row. Maybe they're the surprise team of the NFL in terms of that, but we'll see. Daniel Jones, one game. That's nice. Broncos defense, a lot tougher in terms of this. I got to find some upsets somewhere. Denver really didn't show me a whole lot in terms of last week. If you're struggling against Tennessee in terms of what their defense is going to give you, maybe Indianapolis's reformed defense can provide fits as well for the Broncos. I smell issues with the Broncos. I'm going to jump on the team that's found a way to make things happen, at least in the early part. I'm riding the momentum with the Colts. I'm picking an upset at home in the building Jim Irsay built.
I love a good horse battle. I think I'm going to go Denver on this one. I think that their struggles are going to, you know, kind of dissipate a little bit in this one. I think Indianapolis came out firing, but I don't think it's very sustainable. I don't think Daniel Jones is a guy that can he showed it last week, but I don't think he's a guy that can consistently lead, you know, scoring drive. So I'm going to take Denver in this one. And I think their defense is way too good.
I'm going to take the Colts. Like you said, Denver has some notable issues right now. And just some players just seem a little off. Like we're dealing with questionable plays and injuries. So I'm gonna go with the Colts.
Sean Payton as a head coach hasn't started a season 2-0 since 2013. Just a heads up to trends there.
Good to know. Maybe this is the year.
Panthers and Cardinals next. And it's a 1 p.m. kickoff there from Arizona. The Cardinals at home to start their season. The Panthers, man, they did not provide a whole lot in terms of what they can do on both sides of the football. Just a real struggle against Jacksonville. I don't know what I see that can change my opinion. Disappointed in that performance, certainly. Could be closer. We could see some more chemistry between those two units as far as Carolina's provided. But, man, starting tough on the road. Got to get to it. The Cardinals are going to start 2-0. I'm picking Arizona to win.
It's the battle of the short kings.
Kings, there
Bryce
you go.
Bryce Young and Kyler Murray. I've got the Panthers in this one. I feel like I just want Bryce Young to be good so bad. I think him and Tet are going to have a good game. I think they're going to, you know, do well enough to get them over the hump in Arizona. I've got Carolina.
Give me the Cardinals. But I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a close one, not too high scoring, but I know I said that I wasn't expecting much out of the Cardinals this year at the beginning of the season, but they've kind of proved me wrong. So give me Arizona.
Next up, Philadelphia and Kansas City at 1:25, the national game in the late window. The Eagles really dominated, obviously, in the Super Bowl. Everybody knows that. And what has changed from then until now? Not much in terms of it. Even the Chiefs, who had maybe their one guy who performed well in that Super Bowl, is doubtful to play in Xavier Worthy. We hope he recovers from that shoulder injury. Patrick Mahomes has never started 0-2 as a starting quarterback. The Chiefs looking to avoid their first 0-2 start since 2014. Guess what they did that year? Missed the playoffs. We'll see what it looks like. I don't think there's going to be much change in this one. I got Philadelphia big. I think they're going to really, really give some problems to the Kansas City Chiefs and ruin a home opener at Arrowhead.
I've got Philadelphia in this one. Kansas City the offense didn't look very encouraging last week. I remember on the Travis Kelce touchdown, I just remember thinking him running, he just looks so old. So I think I've got Philly in this one.
Give me Philly in this one as well. They're a Super Bowl team and they're still proving it.
Just an heads up, the 11th Super Bowl rematch following the next season, defending champs 7-3 in those matchups. And finally, the Sunday night football game, Falcons and Vikings in Minnesota. The legend of J.J. McCarthy could continue if he gets another win at home against a player he played against 2 years ago in the national championship in Michael Penix and the Atlanta Falcons here. Good litmus test for both of these quarterbacks to see what they can handle in a national stage. Vikings certainly seem like a team that is understanding of who they are as a team. Didn't blink when the things were going wrong in Chicago. I trust Minnesota to get things done. I trust Minnesota to be ready to go in this football game. Give me the Vikings to start 2-0 and beating the Atlanta Falcons.
I feel like this game could go one of two ways. The Vikings winning in a blowout, or the Falcons just edging out the Vikings in a close one. But I think it's going to go towards the Vikings in a blowout. I feel like they're the more well-rounded team. The Atlanta Falcons offense is pretty good. They've got, you know, Penix looked solid last week and Bijan looked explosive in the receiving game, but I think the Vikings are going to be too much.
Give me the Falcons. You said the offense is kind of good. I think our offense is a really key aspect here, so I'm going to take the Falcons on this one.
Falcons, and that is your Bonatti Blitz, because we'll pick the Monday night games on Monday for the show doubleheader with the Texans and Buccaneers and the Raiders and the Chargers. There you go. Bonatti Blitz, great job, guys. Fantastic. Some disagreements.
Thank you.
Chloe wants
Thank
to fight you. Me still about the Niners, but that's a different segment.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more of the show next on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. A little bit of time left before we end the hour here and go on our merry way to the next hour, and Paul Meadows will be joining us soon. All right, airing grievances, Chloe, what do you got? You want to talk smack about what I've been saying about the Niners? You want to do it in my own little pick segment? Go ahead, air the grievances now. Get it out of your system so then we can all move on.
Listen, you're making this a bigger deal than it has to be. I'm just a little friendly fire is all I'm saying here.
I'm being tough honesty here. I want the Niners to be good. Listen, the Niners.
No, listen.
The Niners being good is good for business, Chloe. It's good.
The Niners being good is good for my own sake.
It's good for business here. If the Niners stink, it's nobody's listening. That's the point.
Understandably, but last week, you said, the Niners don't got this.
Yeah, because I thought the Seahawks were a better team. And I'm learning.
You wrong.
Okay. And now they're all hurt. And if you played the Seahawks again, trust me.
You put it out there,
Mac Jones ain't making those throws against the Seattle Seahawks and throwing it to Jake Tongas.
I'm giving it to Mac Jones. Honestly, we still have McCaffrey.
I'm not giving it to Mac Jones because I woke up for a Germany game between the Patriots and Colts two years ago, and I will never, ever get that morning back in my life. I will never.
Listen here. If the Niners win... Count my word.
Which I said
if
they
the
would.
If the Niners win this
which
weekend,
I say they would.
I am coming decked out of Niners.
That's
next
fair.
Week.
They should win. And if they don't, they are in massive trouble.
If we lose to Spencer Rattler, something is wrong.
That Spencer Rattler has yet to win a game in the National Football League, and he's been in the league for 2 years.
I wish we were playing Jake Haener instead.
Yeah, at least you'd feel good about beating him. Yeah. So, all right. Did we get the grievances out?
See, I was fine. You're the one who brought it up.
I was not the one that brought it up. You brought it up in my segment, last segment. You're the one that brought it up. And now we're done.
Okay.
All right. There we go. Let's talk about the schedule coming up. Let's do a little palate cleanse of that. Tonight, like I said, Friday Night Lights, 7 p.m., 7:30 kickoff. Grizzlies no longer, obviously, playing tonight with the series being over. So it's A's versus Reds on 790. A's versus Reds. Big game for the Giants because you're an A's fan. You want the Reds to kind of get out of that hole wild card scenario. So the A's can do the Giants a solid tonight by beating the Reds tonight and throughout this weekend. That'll be what you'll be looking for. Tomorrow we'll have the Central Valley Sports Report with Paul Metters from 10 a.m. to noon, live from First String Sports. You can listen to that on 1430. Later in the day, Giants and Dodgers from San Francisco, 5:35 pregame with a 6:05 first pitch. And then we'll have A's and Reds over on 790, 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. Sunday, keep track here. We got multiple sports going on here. We've got Niners Saints in the morning, 9 a.m. pregame on 1430. Following the Niners and Saints, it'll be Giants and Dodgers at 1 p.m. Following them, it'll be Falcons and Vikings on 1430 as well, Sunday Night Football there. On 790, you have the Rams and the Titans from Tennessee. And then following the Rams and Titans on 790, you'll have A's and Reds from Sacramento. Day Baseball, 105 first pitch. Monday, we'll be back. Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D, 2 to 3 on 1430. You'll have my show from 3 to 4. Yes, 1 hour show on Monday because we'll get you set for a Monday night doubleheader. Tampa Bay and Houston, 4 p.m. kickoff. Raiders Chargers will be over on 790 for you there. All right, we are excited for the next hour. Can't wait. Paul Metters, of course, coming in. We were both hanging at a Buchanan game last night. We'll talk about that. Talk about some other games that were going on as well. Get his thoughts going into this Friday. Interesting, strange slate we have of this Friday night in terms of it. So we'll see what we're going to be looking for in terms of it as we approach the quarter point of the season. So we'll look forward to that. Of course, we will talk some Fresno State as well, wrap up our hour, wrap up our week in the next hour, coming up next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guess.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Hour number two of two before we sign off and head on to McLean for Bullard home opener. Hard to believe we're, 4 weeks into high school football. We are at the Bullard home opener as they take on Bakersfield. Some things changing right before this game, by the way, in terms of records. So we'll dive into that maybe just a little bit here. But in terms of everything of high school football, everything like that, we are excited to bring in our next guest who is joining us once again on this Friday afternoon ahead of the big, big night. Paul Metters, my partner in crime for the broadcast tonight, will be with us. Paul, how are we doing on this Friday?
It's Friday, Phil, right? It's Friday. I'm excited. You work all week to get to the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Full weekend of football. We're broadcasting tonight, obviously Fresno State tomorrow, college football, Sunday and Monday, NFL.
Yeah.
Right? This is the best. This is why we work hard during the week to get to this moment.
Absolutely. Of course, it wouldn't be a full delicious meal of football throughout the weekend without a little appetizer. And you and I enjoyed a little appetizer last night. We were at the Buchanan home game against Liberty of Bakersfield. And you and I were sitting there watching the game. And I don't know what takeaways we have other than, man, Liberty's in trouble. I would say in terms of what it looks like. I look at their schedule, Paul. I'm having a hard time looking for 3 wins based on the caliber of what we've seen of them. What was your bigger takeaway? Was Buchanan and the way they played, or was it Liberty and the way they played last night?
Yeah, if I had a big takeaway from last night's game, again, I left after the third quarter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to keep it real. Like how bad Liberty was.
Yeah.
Right? We saw that first game of the year. We're like, oh, Liberty gave up 49 points, scored 45, and lost. And then they kept losing. and kept hearing a few things and seeing a few things on social media and talking to other media members, like, hey, you know, Liberty doesn't have much. And I was there about 45 minutes early before the game. The kickoff actually was about 15 minutes late. So I was there by the ramp, and, you know, teams warm up, and then they go up the ramp and then come back down. And, right, we as media members or fans or whatever, we kind of size up teams, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever. We size them up. How do they look? What's the eye appeal of teams? And when watching Liberty walk up the ramp there, I was like, really? This is the mighty Patriots, the former state champs, the back-to-back Central Section champions not too long ago? And, I mean, right, you don't want to disparage a high school team too much. Yeah. But I'm just saying, Phil, it's just they're 0-4. Right, and they might only win two games this year, so they got a tough league schedule as well. And yeah, the mighty Patriots have fallen quite a bit.
Well, of course, they'll have their issues with Central East. Central East is a top team in the Central Section, and then you can play the schedule game of where they'll go. I got at Independence, you
tough game.
See,
Coach Gola's done an amazing job there.
Frontier's coming up now, and so you would think Frontier could probably beat them. Centennial's no pushover in a game. It could be even back and forth. Garces, you know, they're
a little bit
2-1
better than last year. Yeah,
I think they could beat Stockdale, but I mean, there's no givens here left for Liberty. So with Liberty potentially being out of a playoff spot, that's something we rarely talk about here in the Central Section.
Right, and preseason rankings are preseason rankings. A lot of us had them at maybe 6 or 7, but heck, they're probably not even a top 20 team in the Central Section. On the flip side, though, hey, Buchanan looked pretty good, right? They made the most of their opportunities.
Ran the ball really well.
Defense played pretty good. I know they had that long touchdown. I actually don't know how they scored that second touchdown.
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't see it. I left that for 24-7. So.
Yeah, it was probably, it's 31-7 at one point, so they got a
late
touchdown.
Might have went for too late, and yeah, that was kind of why they had six there. But anyways.
Yeah. Buchanan looked pretty good. So they got, the track play is going to begin. They actually have a bye week.
They'll have a bye, and then they
and
have
then Paso.
Paso. Yes.
And then they're going to start league play.
And they're
play.
At Clovis to start league play.
At La Monica.
Yeah, La Monica. Clovis, Clovis West, Clovis North, Clovis East, and then Central East is the run they got.
And that's the track, right? That's how good the track is.
There it goes.
Yeah, Buchanan, ball-controlled type offense, nothing super flashy, you know, just a bend-but-not-break type of defense. We saw a few sacks in that game as well. Their defense is a strength. So I got Ross Wood coming on the show tomorrow, so we'll break down Buchanan a little bit more.
I have to acknowledge the change that's on the record here in Max Press. Just have to acknowledge, and it's about a team that we're placing tonight. Bakersfield now had to forfeit the game they beat Buchanan in, and so now Buchanan sits as 4-0 now. I'm not quite sure what the changes in the math aspect of it, other than now they have 4 wins. Guaranteed Buchanan will be obviously a playoff team in this thing moving forward, because obviously the track will be tough. But what changes there now that Buchanan has that win?
Well, I heard, again, I'm not the authority, but that Bakersfield used an ineligible player in that first game, so that's why Buchanan got the forfeit win. And I found out that this morning, just checking out Buchanan stats on Max Preps, and I saw, I think the score is still up there. I think it was 28-13.
Yep.
And then I saw the W for Buchanan, and I saw the 4-0. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Sent out a few texts. So that's what I'm hearing on that one. I don't hold me to this, but I think that is going to be just as good as just a win on the field as far as the high school ratings go.
Yeah.
Right? Strength and schedule and all that stuff, right, is going to go into, the factor of where they're going to be ranked, but
they have to be ahead of Bakersfield now if
absolutely.
You're doing the math of it. And Bakersfield now has to be below Buchanan if we're going to go seeding route in terms of it. So that's a massive change to what the landscape is, because we thought Bakersfield would definitely probably be above Buchanan in terms of the math and the seeding, but that'll change some things in terms of the matchup in the postseason.
Doesn't that make tonight's game a little more
interesting, right?
Right,
yeah. Bakersfield needs a little bit more. And let's talk about it, right? Bakersfield, Bullard, teams who played 8 days ago, teams who played and scored over 50 points. Their offense is starting to roll a little bit in terms of that. Teams that I feel like really could use the confidence of a win like this tonight in regards to where it can kind of push for the rest of the season.
Bakersfield is a tough-minded team. Rashawn Sheehy has returned to his alma mater. You know, Bakersfield went through a lull about 4 or 5 years ago, right around COVID even. They were not in a good spot, and coach comes in and reestablishes toughness, a running game. They're actually averaging 11.2 yards a carry so far in the three games, 238 yards on the ground. So Buller's got, they got a big test. They got a lot of speed. Talking about the drillers on the outside, if they could set the edge and, you know, contain their running game, they're going to have a pretty good shot. So, right, easier yeah. said than done. But Bakersfield's going to be coming with a strong physicality and some really, really fast guys on the outside.
What do you make of Bullard's start this year? I think we have a higher opinion of what Clovis East provided in terms of that opening game. Yeah. And Clovis East really tough on the defensive side. So maybe we give credit to Clovis East and the way they look. Obviously, they fought through a lot in the Mayfair game, and then they go and beat Hoover and take care of business that way. Is Bullard trending up in your mind going into this game? How do you make of what Bullard's been showing so far this
Well,
year?
All three of those games, talk about the Clovis East game at La Monica, the Mayfair game that was 15-9. It was a team they didn't know much about, and SoCal is a date that they had to fit in. The Hoover game last Thursday, that game was at McLean, but they were technically the away team. See what you did there with the home opener. Tough to tell. I think tonight is, you know, if you know about high school football, I think, you know, if you saw Buller's schedule, you point to this week as the telltale game on how good this Buller football team is, because then they got Clovis on the Thursday the following week. I feel trending up. I'm not sure, right? Like, the Hoover game says that they could score a lot of points really quick, a lot of short passes. Tyler Franklin, the quarterback, was 18 of 21 from the field, threw just under 300 yards.
Yeah.
The skill guys got out in space. That's what they're going to have to do tonight against Bakersfield. Get to some of those one-on-one matchups and hope that your skill guys are going to beat the Bakersfield drillers. I don't have a really good pulse on how this game is going to go score-wise, but I think those keys to the game are really important. Obviously, if those keys to the game go your way, you got a really good shot at winning the football game.
Well, I look forward to it, and especially if we don't really have a good feel of where it'll go, it's going to be fascinating to hear what Pat has to say, because Pat just kind of lives in the game in the moment, and he just looks and digests what he has, no preconceived anything. So I think it's going to be an exciting broadcast to hear his perspective of what he's seeing on both sides as well.
It's always great for Pat,
of
right?
Course.
And you know me, Phil, right? Like, I'm the story guy. I bring out stats. I know the history. I know where kids are going. And I definitely defer to Pat on the technical stuff, right? I gladly do that. And he brings just that great dimension of, you know, analyzing the defense and you know, looking at the offensive line, and defensive line and all those great matchups.
Let's look around the rest of the central section. It's strange slate, I would say, in terms of I don't think you have marquee matchups, but you have matchups where teams need to take care of business, certainly this week, in terms of if they want to obviously keep the things going. I think the number one I would go to is a Central East versus Edison of Stockton. We saw what Clovis West did last week against Edison of Stockton. You have to believe that Central East can find success as well, but it's one of those interesting games in terms of really comparing notes to each other in terms of the track level side of things. What do you expect out of Central East today?
Well, what we liked about Edison Stockton was their defensive line. They had some dudes, right? They were able to stop the run. I still think Central's going to score over 40 points in this one. I like their matchups. Coach Biggs is a great play caller. He sees matchups that he likes. He gets his guys in great position to make plays. I think that's going to be the case tonight. I think Central rolls. Like I said, it could be another 44-14-ish type game. But, you know, I think the Grant game that Central lost, I don't know if it necessarily lit a fire under them. I just think, right, hey, guys, we lost a game. We had aspirations of, you know, winning every game, going 10-0 before the league playoffs. It didn't happen. So let's take every game, right, as it may come, and let's try to pour in some points.
You mentioned Grant, and I'm curious, like I said, to compare notes, like we said, with Central East and what they did against Grant. I remember last year's game. That was one of the better games we had last year in the broadcast, was Clovis East beating Grant, big-time shootout game at La Monica. I don't see that, obviously, in the cards with how Clovis East has transformed themselves. what they got to do, obviously, to weather the storm against Grant, which seems to be a team that's formidable. Just curious to see how close they can keep it tonight out at Grant.
Well, the good news for the Timberwolves is their strength is their defense. Their front seven, it's been said by more than a few people, is probably the best in the Central section.
Yeah.
That's going to keep in a lot of ball games. And we know Grant has a lot of athletes. And Central East is going up there to win a football game. So, their offense is behind their defense. They're going to have to keep a low scoring. They have to not turn the ball over, play the field position game, maybe get a bounce here and there, get a fumble recovery. Something like that is going to have to go their way, in my opinion, for them to keep that one close. Right. But when you got a defense like that, you're going to be in a lot of games.
How about this one? I think this is a pretty interesting game in terms of where both teams are. Sanger and Lemoore in Lemoore, 1-2 teams each side. Sanger, of course, tough couple of losses after their opening win. I think it was over Dinuba, right? Lemoore had to forfeit a game. They lost to Union. They finally get a bounce back win here. What team do you feel like needs this one more in terms of moving forward between Sanger and Lemoore?
Well, and what's up with these forfeits, right? Lemoore had one. I'm hearing Edison had to forfeit their game against Templeton.
Oh, wow.
Right? So there's another one. Who needs this one more? I would say Sanger.
Yeah.
I would say Sanger, right? You know, when they get into CMAC play, that's going to be tough. Lemoore 1-2 on the season. I don't know what to make of Sanger this year. I haven't seen him with my own eyeballs yet this year. The Hanford loss was surprising to a lot of people, especially with Hanford losing that opening game to Kennedy. Clovis East, you know what they can do defensively. I think Sanger needs this one more than Lemoore.
How about Clovis North at CVC tonight? CVC, man, I don't know who schedules tougher than this school.
Yeah.
In terms of it, they do not back down from any challenge. And unfortunately, the results certainly haven't been close for them. They lose to Clovis at the beginning of the year. Bakersfield Christian, we know they can be certainly a top team to be talked about. Clovis North had a battle with Redwood a couple weeks ago. They're coming off of a bye. What do you make of this one tonight out at Visalia?
Has anybody scheduled harder than as far as like a medium-sized school than Central Valley Christian at the beginning of the year?
I
think Clovis North is going to put up a lot of points. You know, they're offensive-minded now. I could see that being like a 42-7 game, to be honest. And CVC is just struggling. Like, they're getting manhandled. You know, their strength was, I mean, Bryson Donaldson obviously was a man-child when he played for them for that year and a half. But, CVC has always been known to have a good offensive line and a couple skill guys here and there that can make some plays. But, yeah, Clovis North's just going to have too much tonight.
What other game do you want to go to? I've kind of hit the ones that I feel like I can kind of highlight in terms of it. But is there some gems out there that some people are going to that you'd be interested in hearing about?
I mean, Clovis needs that bounce back win.
Yeah.
Don't they? Lost to Frontier. I'm hearing some guys weren't able to play in that football game down in Bakersfield for the Cougars. They're playing Los Gatos tonight. At home. So we'll have some people will be there. So we'll get some scoops during that game.
I want to point out real quick, Los Gatos beating Liberty of Brentwood last week. That Liberty of Brentwood, I think, beat Frontier in a low scoring game. I'm going to verify that real quick. Yes, they beat Frontier 14-7.
14-7 game
over that. So if this Los Gatos team can beat Liberty 35-7, Liberty then beating Frontier, if you want to do the transitive property of results, Paula, does that color that game a little differently in your mind?
Well, look at you going back to your Algebra 1 days in high school, right? all right, yeah. There are some people. So there's a couple pretty active message boards out there that I check out every once in a while, and you make predictions on games, and you could tally it up throughout the year. And there are more than one or two people that think Los Gatos is going to win that game, right? Maybe they got a little more intel than I have on who's playing or who's not for Clovis tonight. So that's always a big mystery, right? So yeah, just we'll definitely keep our eye on that one. But Clovis needs a win. They need to get a win in this week four.
Get it figured out a little bit after what last week was, because we were ready to crown them. I think we were ready to put them as like our top team of the week after we saw them against Salinas. But obviously, there's some things they got to clean up in terms of it. Dinuma's. I want to point out Dinuma real quick.
Yeah,
they have Selma, nice win. And Dinuma had a nice win. I think they had one of the better. I think maybe the best win or one of the best wins out of last week, beating Kingsburg. Is there juice there with Dinuma in their team and what they are kind of doing? Have you heard anything from this Dinuma side?
Yeah, I have. So CJ Lester, who I've known for the last 10 years, you know, I grew up in Dinuma. So CJ is a great guy, and had him on the show, and I congratulated him after the win against Kingsburg, and he said, yeah, Paul, we needed it, right? So, you know, talk about the tough schedule that Central Valley Christian has. Dinuba had a really tough schedule, opened with Sanger, and so they don't have a lot of gimmies on their schedule, but you know, they're a running football team. They're not pass happy. They got a decent size offensive line, but yeah, I mean, you know, a second win before league starts. And again, for them, league is really, really tough. That'd be good for the Emperors.
I got one more. I failed to mention this one more. Tulare Western, 3-0 at Redwood, who's 1-2. Tulare Western, I would say their signature win over CVC, a 12-7 win over that. They're 3-0. They beat El Diamante. They handle Mount Whitney. Redwood has had two close games, especially with, I think, Tulare Union, who I talked to them yesterday. I talked to Coach Bennett, talked to Jordan Crisp. Really like what Union's providing, especially with that win over St. Joe's that we talked about. This is an interesting one to see if Redwood can get to that 2-2 mark before they have the game we're going to have next week, their game against Hanford. I'm interested in Tulare Western and Redwood tonight.
Well, who's had the tougher schedule, right? Redwood, yeah. Centennial, not as good as the last few years from Bakersfield. Clovis North, that wild win for the Broncos, and then Tulare Union, right? So they're right there, right? A couple plays go their way, and they could be staring at 3-0 going to that one. Tulare Western, Mount Whitney? So their strength schedule is
56-6 over Mount Whitney. They went 12-7 over CVC. They went 54-28 over El Diamante.
Okay. Yeah. So I got Redwood in this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Redwood's gonna win. I think those two tough games in a row for the Rangers, I think that trumps what they did.
Good on Western for getting those three wins out of the way, though. They, you know, they're a playoff team. They're going to be ready to go.
That's right.
In terms
those
of
the ones you're supposed to win.
Exactly, the ones you take care of. Anything else? I'm trying to look. I got Golden West and North tonight. North High, that'll be interesting. Kingsburg at Highland.
That's gonna be a tough one.
Is that gonna be a tough one down there?
Yeah, Golden West though. Gosh, they got some dudes. They got a prolific offense. That's the other Dinuba loss. Sorry, off the top of my head, they lost to Golden West. So, yeah, they're putting up some crazy stats. What that one kid? What 11 catches for 290?
Right.
A couple weeks ago, I think that was against Dinuba, maybe. So
how about 2-0 Emmanuel at 2-0 Arosi tonight? How about that one?
I like that one.
Yeah,
a couple of trench type teams are going to run the football, similar styles. So that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Looking at other winning record games, Fireball 2-1 against Roosevelt 2-0 at Roosevelt tonight.
Roosevelt's? Oh, that game's at Roosevelt?
Game's at Roosevelt. I don't know where they're playing. Fireball. Roosevelt and Fireball.
Maybe at Sunnyside? I don't know.
Yeah. Roosevelt's 2-0. They're coming after beating Atascadero.
Atascadero, and who else?
They beat Corcoran.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Corcoran, they got.
Yeah, this should be an interesting game.
So there you go. I think that's all of them. McLean's 2-0 tonight. They're at Santa Maria.
Oh gosh, that's going to be a bloodbath. Yeah. It's going to be a running clock.
See that. And other than that, that's what I got on the weekend. I'm trying to look if I got some. Oh, San Joaquin Memorial and Garces is tomorrow.
Saturday.
The way.
Yeah.
That's tomorrow night at Garces, and Kerman's at Hanford West tomorrow as well. So Kerman's going to be in action tomorrow night.
The Holy Bowl. That's the Garces Memorial game. Yeah.
A lot of tradition around that game for sure. Paul, a little bit of time left. I want your thoughts real quick. It's a big weekend in baseball as well. And I like to just bring it up to you just because you're a Dodger fan. What is your feel? I mean, the Giants, man, they have been the talk of baseball for a little bit now. I know Sergio is a big fan of the Giants.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know he's a Niners and Giants guy.
He is hyped up as he can be. Sergio, you can talk to us here in this segment if you want. But how do you feel about Dodgers Giants this weekend? for the fans out there.
Or how do I feel about the Dodgers in general?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a pessimistic. Gosh, I mean, the sky is falling. Yeah, you let the Giants creep in and creep in. And you look at the standings, and right, you're like, hey, the Giants can play spoiler, or they can sneak in and get into the wild card. Right? There's lots of things.
Game and a half back of the Mets.
Game and a half, and the free falling Mets. Right.
Yep.
I mean, the Dodgers to me, it's so inconsistent. It's just been a mess. Obviously, Ohtani's the greatest player in the world, right? So you know he's just a once in a generation guy. You know, the inconsistencies, the starting pitching, Yamamoto's great. He's been fantastic all season. And I looked at some stats today. The most innings after Yamamoto is Clayton Kershaw with 99 innings pitched. And the guy's getting away with 91 miles an hour fastballs. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest lefties of all time, right? But after that, who scares you, right? The Dodgers have thrown 34 different pitchers this year.
Yeah.
34. There's guys that are pitching like I never even heard of them. I can't even pronounce their last name. So, Freeman's been inconsistent. Mookie Betts has had the worst offensive season that he's ever had in his career.
I was going to say, Mookie being right now, I'm starting to not regret the trade anymore.
Got a couple World Series championships, so he's going to live on forever with those. But, yeah, I'm not feeling confident about the Dodgers at all and their postseason chances. But hey, Giants could do some damage this weekend. Absolutely.
What are you feeling, Sergio, about this weekend?
Yamamoto's dad's in the lineup today too, Casey Schmidt. So
look at this guy comes in and talks trash to me and the Dodgers. I like it though. Bring it. Bring the heat here.
Shohei and Verlander tonight. We'll see if Verlander can actually get a win. Or the bullpen wants to blow it again in terms of it. Ryan Walker, man, get him off this team. That's where I'm at.
Bring back Randy Rodriguez, please.
Too bad his elbow's on the mitt.
I know.
Right.
He's gone for more than a year.
Well, Schmidt hit the grand slam, right? Is that where you're going with that? Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Right.
We'll see. We'll see how the weekend goes. Paul, appreciate it. We'll talk more about your show coming up tomorrow on our broadcast tonight. So we'll preview that. But appreciate you coming by. And we'll see you down there at McLean, 7 o'clock pregame.
Let's do it, man. I'm excited for it. It's going to be a fun game.
Can't wait. Paul Metters here with us on 1430. Stay with us. You're listening to Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Paul Metters for joining us in the last segment, talking everything Friday night tonight. Wow, we took up more than the hour. We took up more than half the hour there.
That's wild.
You guys could have cut us off. You could have given me a little signal. No, I'm kidding. It's fine. That's where I wanted to go in terms of it. Okay, we got a little bit of time. Let's talk about this football game coming up on Saturday, Fresno State versus Southern. And really, I don't know what can be said about tomorrow's game in terms of what actually happens, but let's talk about the wish list of what we want to see in tomorrow's game for Fresno State fans. What do Fresno State fans desperately want to see out of this football game against Southern? Because, folks, we understand the capabilities and how this team is going to look versus what we're going to be seeing. And Southern struggles this year in terms of it. Southern 1-2 on their record going into this football game tomorrow night. Southern's first trip to Fresno State ever. And I don't even recall, I believe, a game where Southern has gone to the West Coast in their program side of things as well. So it could be really a whole different experience in terms of it. But it is let's talk about it first in the nature of this. An HBCU coming to Fresno, coming to the California market, folks getting to experience the HBCU culture, the HBCU traditions, especially when it comes to the music of it and the band that's going to be coming. We're going to get that experience. I do want to point out that this is a really remarkable experience that Fresno State fans are going to get the opportunity to experience and enjoy. And I appreciate the fact that we have that coming to our backyard in the form of a football game. And I'm going to embrace that aspect of the game tomorrow as opposed to just simply what is going to be happening on the football field. I'll start off there. I think this is an exciting proposition for a lot of fans. It's going to be more than a football game tomorrow night. I know it's Heroes Night as well. We're going to be honoring a lot of the heroes in terms of military service, folks who are service members all throughout our Fresno area. So a lot of that tomorrow, I'm excited in the aspect of that. I don't know if you guys are as well.
Yeah, that sounds amazing, you know, getting that honor, you know, our military who, you know, sacrificed a lot for it to, you know, keep this country safe and allow us to have a show like this. So,
yeah,
you know, that's awesome just in and of itself. But, you know, like you said, the HBCU and coming over here and, you know, having the band, Fresno State Bulldog Band, is going to have some trouble being the loudest in the
stadium.
It's
going to be tough for our band. Let me tell you, our band's in trouble.
Yeah, BMB is very, very good, but I don't think they can – respectfully, I don't think they can compete with
I have been a member of the BMB. We would never – I can say it confidently, guys, not touching the human jukebox in terms of caliber. Chloe, what excites you about having the HBCU program here, Southern – and having that experience be brought to Fresno?
I think the HBCU program in a whole is just, it's so beautiful to see the diversity that we've seen in college now and in athletics. I mean, I don't know if you knew, like, HBCU gymnastics started becoming a thing a few years ago, and seeing just how much support there's been in all the sports. So I'm really excited to see how this goes in terms of just like how the fans are like. I feel like everyone's excited about this game. It's going to be a really exciting game despite the score, despite how people play. It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun. It's a beautiful time to honor military and first responders and all of that. I'm really excited for this game and to see the culture that we're bringing. And I feel like just all the love that we've been giving to these schools.
Yeah. And so the historical nature of that certainly will be weighed upon what we are going to be paying attention to with this football game. But a football game will be played. And Fresno State certainly has some things to clean up and what they need to show. And certainly it'll be the business side of that and what they can do in terms of this game against Southern. Let's go through it. Here's some thing. Maybe I'll start when we go around. What's one thing I think fans are going to be looking for? And I think I have the obvious answer to start here. And the obvious answer is, can we see a passing touchdown from our offense? We are three games in, and we have yet to see a passing touchdown from EJ Warner. I'm not particularly putting all of the blame on him in terms of that. But, you know, the turnovers to touchdown ratio, obviously fans are going to be not feeling great about where we are with that. But this is a game that certainly you can see good tape in terms of what can be capable for this Bulldog offense, especially in the passing department. I know it's not going to like quell the concerns of where Fresno fans are going to be because, yeah, you put up five touchdowns, or if you're going to do that, it's going to be against a lesser caliber opponent. Do it against somebody that matters, like next week in terms of Hawaii, in terms of the football sense of things. But I put it in terms of like shooting a basketball and a three-point shooter. Sometimes a three-point shooter just needs to see one go in for them to get hot and catch fire. And so I think the Bulldogs just need to see a passing touchdown complete, and then maybe you start seeing the momentum of the season move forward. We'll go to Sergio next. What about you? What do you think Bulldog fans need to see tomorrow night?
Something that they need to see. I mean, I can agree with you with the EJ thing. You know, once you get one, that's when it starts to, you know, snowball.
The monkey off the back.
Yeah, get the monkey off the back, snowball in a good way, you know, so you can get that passing offense going. But I think, I mean, something they can expect to see is, you know, the run game be as consistent as it has been. You know, that's Fresno State's bread and butter. That's what's, you know, won them games recently. And I think to keep that consistent, I think that'd be huge for the offense.
How about a bold prediction for me? I said this in the Barkboard thing. How about four players with at least 75 yards rushing tomorrow night.
I can see that. I mean, they had four guys, you know, excel last game.
Spread the wealth in terms of it. Chloe, what's something Fresno State fans want to watch, want to see tomorrow in tomorrow night's game?
Also, in terms of offense, I feel like we've proven that we have a strong offense and we can utilize it. But, I mean, we got to see it through Warner. That passing touchdown would be huge for us. Just because I feel like it really proves that we know what we're doing. We know who we're bringing onto this team. So, yeah, just kind of seeing how our offense plays out and using all the skills that we have.
Yeah. How about – I got another one. How about no targeting or no question of a targeting call? Two games in a row we've had targeting. If we get third in a row, it's shame on us in terms of that. It's what? It's one, shame on you, shame on me, and then everything else like that. I don't know how it all works, but anyways.
Yeah, and then you're cooked after that.
So let's stop the targeting side of things. I know everyone's going to look at me like, Kavion Thunderbird's hit wasn't a targeting. Unfortunately, it's in the record of side of things. And let's be honest, I thought it should have counted towards the fumble forcing of that. But the targeting penalty, let's avoid that. It was kind of an issue, or not kind of, it was an issue last year for this defense in terms of it and some of the penalty side of things. But the Bulldogs overall have been very good in the penalty department in terms of avoiding it. I got a couple other ones that I want to see. Let's get our first kick return touchdown this week. Rayshon Luke had one, and then it got taken away via a penalty. I'm not trying to blame anybody there. I saw him on the I saw him after the play on the television, and he shakes Coach Baxter. He's like, I'm going to get it in terms of the play. So I want Speedy Luke to get his first special teams touchdown. Actually, let's be honest. I want every version of a touchdown in tomorrow's game. I want a rushing. I want a passing. I want a defensive score, and I want a special team score. Full, complete performance in all departments. I want that tomorrow night as well. Let's get good tape for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable reasonable request. I have another one. How about holding the lead for the entire game?
Yeah.
Because they were losing at one point to Georgia Southern. They were losing at one point to Oregon State. Lost, obviously, to Kansas in blowout fashion. So let's hold the lead for the entire game.
Avoid the disaster moments in those games where where the Bulldogs kind of lull into not playing good football. We knew it in the Georgia Southern game from basically the end of the first quarter to about the middle point of that second quarter. That's as bad football as we saw. And then same with the Oregon State side of things. There were lulls of defensive lapses with the team where they were giving up yards. And obviously, if you had a competent long snapper for Oregon State, that game would feel a whole lot differently for both teams. So that's a good one there too, Sergio. Anything else from you guys? I'm excited about tomorrow's game. I think it'll be a nice little coming out party for everybody. Let's do a little score prediction real quick. Let's do a little score prediction for tomorrow's game. Why don't we start with Chloe this time? Chloe, what's the score in tomorrow night's game between Fresno State and Fresno State and Southern University?
I'm going to go 33-7.
All right. Sergio, what do you got?
Give me 56-14.
56-14. They get a couple touchdowns. All right. I'm going to go 52-7. 52-7. We do got to get Dylan Lynch a field goal in there. That's just where I'm at. If 7 touchdowns for us tomorrow, and Dylan Lynch gets a field goal, and that touchdown comes maybe against our last unit, or maybe it's early and we get all nervous. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, the line's at 35 for Fresno State. So
we have a line somewhere. I haven't been able to find a line on the game.
It's 30, on ESPN.
34.5? Is that what they got? Or 34 on the dot?
I saw 35 on the dot.
35 on the dot.
According to ESPN Bet.
I would take it. I would take that for sure. So, appreciate it. Let's before we end the segment here, I got a little something to tell you, of course, and I got to talk about it here right now. Let's talk about DraftKings. Football is back, of course. We all know that. We had it last night with the Green Bay Packers, and so is your shot to win big. DraftKings Pick 6, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Your game day instincts can score you real money and fast. Here's the play. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats, from breakout rookies to elite QBs, and unlock the upside every snap brings. The better your calls, the bigger your playouts. Plenty bigger your payouts. The plenty of selections going on this weekend in terms of the NFL. Certainly like the Patriots potentially to get a little going. I'd like some more on some Patriots. Here is the kickoff bonus. New DraftKings customers get $50 in bonus picks with just a $5 entry. This season, play your player instincts. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use the code KFIG. That's code KFIG. Play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 bonus picks. Make the call, ride the upside in partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 bonus picks that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Hi, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, signing off for the weekend. Excited to have the weekend coming at us here, 5 o'clock. Of course, we're going to be still live, 7 p.m. tonight, pregame, Bullard and Bakersfield tonight, Friday Night Lights, 7:30 kickoff, me, Pat Hill, Paul Metters, the trio, back at it. For another good evening of football between Bullard and Bakersfield. Can't wait for it. Looking forward to it. We'll be at McLean High. That's where they're going to be playing the game there. Of course, on 790, I'll have A's and Reds, 6:30 pregame, 7:05 first pitch. We mentioned it all in the previous hour. Just another little quick hitter to it. Paul Metters Show, Central Valley Sports Report tomorrow, 10 a.m. to noon. Of course, we'll have some football in the morning. On Sunday, Niners Saints on 1430, Rams Titans on 790. You'll have baseball at the same time on 1430 and 790, Giants and Dodgers, A's and Reds, and then Sunday Night Football on Sunday as well, Falcons and Vikings. Reminder, Monday is a Monday night doubleheader. You have Bucks and Texans at 4 p.m. on 1430, and then at 6:30 over on 790, we'll have the pregame of the Raiders and Chargers, and then we'll bring you that game live locally here on 790. Of course, Major Wager, we're going to be doing the Raiders-Charger game on Monday. So if you plan to go to Major Wager on Monday night, it'll be 7 p.m. when we have our game. We'll start showing up around 6 o'clock or so. But, of course, you can hang and watch the first game if you want to and have a night of it. Two games at one night. Can't complain about that, I guess, in terms of that. So exciting for the folks of Major Wager. Can't wait to bring it to you. Really fun night last week. Sergio, fun night at Major Wager, your first Major Wager. How did you experience for you?
I thought it was great. I thought it was really fun. The, you know, fans came out, yeah, brought a lot of energy. We're very, very excited to play, which made me excited to, you know, watch the game and, you know, interact with all the people. So it was really fun.
Some tough beats for some people last
last
week in terms of it. I tell you that story. Guy was walking up making his fourth quarter bets, and I'm like, the Bears are about to kick a field goal to start this fourth quarter. I told him, you should put 100 down on the field goal. And of course the Bears missed the field goal. Tough beat. Don't listen to gambling advice from the house.
Nope. This is not financial advice.
No. So that was tough. I apologize still for taking your $100, sir, in terms of it. But anyways, $100 fake, by the way. Fake $100. We play with fake money. We don't play with real money. Just legally having to say that. All right. Weekend's coming up. Got a phenomenal one ahead of us. A lot of sports to get into. Let's go around the horn here. But before I do that, I'm going to combine two segments here. This is the Daily Spread brought to you by Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino. If you're not trying your luck on your teams, try your luck. Chichansey Gold Resort and Casino. What are we watching this weekend? I'll start, and I'm going to be watching my Patriots playing the Dolphins in the morning. How about a point and a half favorite for the Dolphins? Gosh, that's killing me. That's killing me. The Dolphins are favored after what they produced in week one. I have to take the Patriots all day long. I have to take the Patriots in winning that. So that's what I'll be watching this weekend, among other things. I'll be watching also Yankees Red Sox this weekend. Massive series in terms of it. I know football season's right now, but baseball season's still trying to figure itself out in terms of that. Clay, what are you watching this weekend? What are you watching?
I'm looking over here at some NCAA football.
Yeah, tomorrow.
So what do I got? We got Wisconsin and Bama.
Ooh.
I have Notre Dame.
Bama, 20.5 point favorite, by the way. Sorry, I'm going to try to get spreads of everything you're talking about there. So what do you got?
I have the Notre Dame game.
What time is that one at?
Shoot, I don't know.
Notre Dame. Is that a night game? Yeah, night game. Notre Dame, 6.5 point favorites against A&M.
And then I got to take Arkansas and Ole Miss.
Okay.
Excited about that one.
Arkansas, Ole Miss.
Of course, not going to miss my Niners game.
Of course not.
And I'm looking forward to this Chargers and Raiders game, honestly.
Ooh, that'll be Monday night. Looking forward to it. Sergio, what do you got? What are you watching this weekend?
So last week I correctly predicted my Cal Poly Mustangs would get stomped by Utah, and they did. So, but they're not going to get stomped this week because they're playing Division II Western Oregon. So
okay.
They beat them last year. They're going to beat them again this year because they're not great. But going to watch some Cal Poly, going to watch Fresno State. How about Miami, South Florida?
I was going to lock into that one as well. I was, if nobody was going to mention it, I'm locking into that. If South Florida wins this game against Miami, they're a 17.5 point underdog at Miami. Ooh. Is South Florida a... Do they have to be ranked the top 10? Do they have to be ranked the top 5? They've beaten 3 ranked opponents through 3 weeks.
I could see like top 12. Mm. They're in the playoff.
They're in the playoff. Here's your consolation.
Yeah, there you go.
In terms of it. But fascinating game on the college docket as well. Let me see if I can find some other gems out there in terms of it in the morning. Yeah, no, I'm not interested in Michigan. Central Michigan, little Clemson, Georgia Tech for anybody. A little ACC right at 9 a.m. Tomorrow morning.
Clemson looks rocky. Yeah. Kate Klubnik might be a fraud.
I'd be interested in that. By the way, Clemson, three-point favorite. Only a three-point favorite at Georgia Tech. Oregon at Northwestern in that weird Northwestern stadium, which I think they play on a soccer field.
Ew.
So... let's see. What else we got? Georgia, Tennessee, anyone? Georgia, Tennessee.
I like that.
Yeah?
We'll see if Gunnar Stockton can do anything.
I think I picked Georgia in that one in terms of it. What else we got? Ohio State. I want to see if Ohio can cover. I'd love to see that. What else? Florida at LSU. Enticing it to anybody as well? At 4:30.
I like that one.
And I'm interested in Utah, Wyoming. We talked about it Wednesday. 2-0 teams, Utah at Wyoming. In Laredice. Can't wait for that. Nobody said Giants-Dodgers this weekend. Nobody's watching.
Well, I think that goes without saying.
That'll be interesting.
We're locked
for sure.
On that one.
We're locked in. That was already a lock in terms of it. All right. Can't wait for it. Of course, a reminder that you can listen to this show on demand on the 1430 ESPN Fresno.com website, on the app as well. So if you missed any of that fun stuff, you can go lock in there in terms of it. Guys, great show. Excited for the weekend. Excited for tonight. Can't wait for it. Appreciate what you guys do for the show.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff. We'll be back on air tonight at 7 p.m. pregame, 7:30 kickoff live, Bullard versus Bakersfield. If you're going to miss out on that, though, we will see you Monday, 3 p.m. Behind the Bench returns then. Have a great weekend.